The Lord be with you, Hope College. Oh, amen. Happy Friday. Congratulations. This is what, second week? Third week? 90th week? I don't know. You're here. It's Friday. I'm so glad. So glad. Oh, you're beautiful. Anyway, my name is Jennifer Ryden. I'm new on staff in campus ministries. There are two new here this year. Jill Nelson, you met her on Wednesday. She's the director. Woo woo! Yes? She is the director of small groups, and there are just a staggering amount of people signed up for small groups, and we are praising the Lord for that, and they start really soon. So Jill is here, and then I get to be here, and I am chaplain of discipleship. I'm your chaplain this year, and that is just a privilege. So being new here, Jill and I were asked just to share about ourselves a little bit, because we're going to get to be with you and worship with you and love you. So it's fair that you know a little bit about us. So I always find that I am a little bit uncomfortable in sharing about myself. I'm a preacher, so I'd much rather be preaching. But I think what makes me a little bit uncomfortable is that I think about my life and my days and my ways. I find that much of it is wonderful, wonderful. But there's also many of my days and ins and outs that are frankly kind of boring, kind of ordinary, pedestrian. For example, the last several years of my life have been dominated by parenting. Parenting. I am a mother of five. Five! I know! It's crazy, crazy. Three of our children came the natural way. Two of them came by way of long-term foster care placement. So we have two sons that way as well. So it is a good business, parenting, and it is the joy of my life, but let's be real, it's not always glorious. I'm not always writing home about the days of that, right? We currently have four teenagers at home. Four! I mean, one's 11, but she's a tween, and she thinks she's a teenager, so, you know, we're just about there, right? So you know what our days are. They are filled with the trials and travails and mood swings of four teenagers. And you will not be surprised to know then my existence is dominated from dawn till dusk by a simple reality. I have to feed them. I have to feed them. So when, I mean, I'm gonna be short here, really short, because I've gotta go to the grocery store. They are like a plague of locusts that descend, and we cannot keep them fed. I am grateful for my husband of nearly 20 years, who is the love of my life and my partner in this business of parenting and having a family, and keeps me sane most days. When I get free time, which is barely ever, come on, I do things probably like you, simple pleasures, really. I love to walk with a friend if I can. I love to take a bike ride. I love to sit and have an extra cup of coffee and read a good book. I love to binge on Netflix. And yeah, okay, yeah. You can clap for that. And of course, I like to get a little extra sleep if I'm granted that time. There is a phrase that I learned at seminary that God is helping me with in these ordinary days. And it's this: God is not elsewhere. God is not elsewhere. In other words, God is not pouring out his Holy Spirit. He is not advancing his kingdom and transforming and renewing and redeeming someplace else, in someone else's life, in some different way of life. He's doing that in mine. Even at the grocery store, even in that conversation with my friend, even in the ordinary pedestrian parts of life, in the particular days, friends, on this day, on this very day, in the midst of your life and studying and testing and your lunch at Phelps and your afternoons, Christ is Lord. And he is doing that work in us in all our particular ways. And he is giving me new eyes to see that. And I'm so thankful. Okay, so that's the humble part of my life. But I'm not going to get up here and not also boast on the miracles that God has worked in my life as well. There are many, but I want to share just two of them with you because, again, I have to go to the grocery store. The first miracle of miracles is that I am a pastor. I am a pastor, and oh, the joy, I'm your pastor. I'm your pastor. Now, it was not always this way. I did not begin my vocational life as a pastor, and I believe that's because there was no Bo Richter Center for Career and Calling when I went to school. No. I went to college, praise the Lord, and I majored in English literature because, yes, woo, woo, thank you. Now, in part it because I just could not conceive of anything else. My imagination was dim, and at least I liked to read. So I signed up for English literature, which means that I spent my days with words and with poetry and with story, and I did love it. I did love it. But I graduated with no perceptible skills whatsoever. None. No imperceptible skills, really. And even though I was determined that teaching was not the path for me because my parents were teachers, I ended up teaching. Now, teaching is good work. It is good work. Woo! Yeah. Woo! I love you, teachers. I love you. God bless you. God bless you. Kids need you. Kids need the hope that is in you, especially. And over the course of my life, I worked in a variety of capacities and in a number of different amazing schools, and I met some wonderful kids, and I got to work with some great teachers, but I always felt a call to know God better and know God deeper by way of seminary. And so, praise be to God, a few years ago, I got to attend, let me get my bearings, Western Theological Seminary. It's somewhere right back here. Thank you. And I didn't have to go elsewhere to do that. God was right there, right there. And seminary, for me, I think not what seminary is for everyone, right? But for me, I can honestly say that as day in, day out, I studied the theological and ontological and soteriological realities of the triune God. I met Jesus. I met Jesus. Now, I had known Jesus my whole life. I had loved him, and I had loved his church. Loved his church. I am never happier then or now than sitting in a pew and worshiping with sisters and brothers in Christ. But my days at seminary were like daily conversions of recognizing and beholding the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And not only did I find that he was the Word before all words, and that he was the first and last, and the Alpha and the Omega, and the bright and morning star, and the God of God, and the light from true light, but he was the one who was standing on the very shore, and he was calling me. He was calling my name to follow me. And so, miracles of miracles. I get to pastor, which means that every day I get to follow Jesus and I get to follow him as he makes his way in you, as he calls you and bids you to come. And I get a ringside view of the grace and truth of God in real circumstances, in real lives, in your life. And day in, day out, I get to see his word come alive in preaching, in sacrament, in prayer, in worship. And it is a miracle. I promised you two. The second miracle is the harder one, because this is the hard one for all of us. The second miracle in my life was a resurrection miracle. I kid you not. If ever your pastor says, "Have you witnessed a resurrection?" you raise your hand. You say, "Yeah, yeah." Because the thing about following Jesus is that the way of Christ is cruciform. That the seed needs to fall to the ground and die. It needs to die in order to rise and in order to bear fruit. Now, I thought I knew about dying, right? Because Paul tells us all the time, you got to put it to death. There are things in you that have got to be put to death. And if we're following Jesus, we are working on death all the time. We're called to put to death desires, sometimes dreams. We're called to put to death sin and practices and habits and schedules. We're called to put it to death for the glory of Christ. But on June 1, 2012, to my surprise, I actually died. I actually did. It was the day that I took my son, my firstborn, my beloved, my wonderful, amazing, beautiful, fantastic, smart as a whip, 11-year-old son, to the emergency room. Because some probably ordinary, but unknown and undeserved virus had settled in his body and had gone to work on his brain, in particular his brain stem. And the toll of that was just more than I could ever have imagined. At first, my son's name is Theo, and he was in the hospital for a long, long time. And at first, we begged God for his life, and he lived. And then we pleaded with the Lord. We pleaded that when that virus receded and when the inflammation was down, that his brain would not be damaged. But it was. Now, 4 years later, I can tell you that our boy is getting better, little by little, but that damage was extensive. And it profoundly changed him, and thus it profoundly changed reality. And I grieve that boy every day. I grieve him. Yet here is the resurrection miracle. That I was afflicted in every way, but not crushed. I was perplexed, but not driven to despair. I was persecuted, but not forsaken. I was struck down, but not destroyed. Because now I know. Now I know what it is for God to love the world so much that he gave his son. And I carry around in my body the death of Jesus Christ, so that the life of Jesus Christ may also be made visible in my mortal flesh. Friends, when you see me walking around campus or eating lunch in Phelps or having coffee at LaMangelo's or standing up here, don't just look at this 5'1", statue. See resurrection life. Resurrection life. Let us pray. We praise you, O our Christ, for you are the faithful witness. You are the ruler of the kings of the earth, and you are firstborn of the dead. So Christ, we pray simply that you would come alive in us, raise us from the dead, so that the world may know your kingdom come. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Go, grace and peace, Hope College.